Top tips to memorize. These are the nuts and bolts. So pay very close attention. Number one, we need to have a plan, and we should start that plan with prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time that we've had fellowshipping and talking about how you want to dwell in our hearts through faith in your word. And thank you that your word has power today, just like it had power for Abraham, for Jacob, for Elijah, and all those that came before us. And we ask you in Jesus' name humbly that you please be with us during this last very important session of techniques to hide your word in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Nothing happens without a plan. Don't expect to accidentally get into medical school or to accidentally find a good spouse or accidentally anything. We need to have a plan. And, of course, the Lord works. It's not just all up to us, but we need to do our part. I noticed the birds out this morning, and they were having all kinds of fun over there in Park City, going and collecting their food and just enjoying it. God feeds them, doesn't he? But I noticed there wasn't a big long line with him dropping, you know, food into their beaks. They actually had to go out and they had to get it. So they have to, you know, use their little brains and figure out what to do. And so we should have a plan as well. And so it starts out with a decision. We need to make a decision that, based upon the reasons that we've talked about, no matter the cost, we're going to get those blessings, those 10 benefits, and something's going to give, and it's not going to be God's word. So make a plan. Number two, you know, someone just testified to me, and I can honestly tell you from my own experience, this is true. I lived with an engineer who, for a while, when I was a Bible worker quite a few years ago, who was brilliant. I think he was a genius or approaching. He was very, very brilliant. Had his master's in engineering, and he had such a hard time memorizing God's word. He got so discouraged. This brilliant guy, you know, a guy can talk about football all day long, you know, and engineering stuff all day long, and he knows all the, you know, all the stuff that he wants to know, he knows. But when it came to the Bible, poor guy got so discouraged in our group, and he's just like, I just can't do it. I'm like, something's wrong. This is a spiritual battle. This is not just an average task of learning something. And someone just told me that today, that they know all kinds of languages, brother back there, and studying, and it's very difficult to learn the Bible. Why is that? Well, one of the reasons can be because Satan opposes us. And so we really do need to pray, and this is what I do. I just kneel down and I just say, Lord, I want to know your word, and I really believe that it's your will, and I claim your promise that you said I should know it, and so therefore I'm starting with my own wisdom, but I'm not going to finish with my own wisdom. I'm starting with willing to do it, but you need to perform the work in my life and give me the brain power necessary to do this. And when I really seek the Lord, he really does answer. And I start just remembering very much more easily. And so try that. Just, you know, kneel down and just say, Lord, please make me mighty in your word. Help me to become thoroughly acquainted with the doctrines of Jesus Christ that I may be able to win souls. And he will do that for you. The other thing, the other important aspect of prayer that we'll talk about prayer more at Vespers at 6:30, but and the connection between the two. But we'll be spending some time in prayer, and a real blessing. Don't miss Vespers. We're going to be richly blessed by His Spirit. But the other thing that we should pray for is we should pray that we would understand what we're learning in the Bible. You know, when I saw a picture of my wife for the first time, and I heard her name, I never forgot her name since. That was it. I fell in love, and I knew who she was, and no one had to remind me, because we remember what we love, because there's something in our brains called, you know, there's these chemical hormones like dopamine that are, you know, when we experience joy, then we remember, and it's combined with memory. And so when we experience joy and we understand something, then we're more likely to remember it. And so asking the Lord for the Holy Spirit with each verse, Lord, show me great and mighty things, open up my eyes that I may see great things out of your law, and you know, share your secrets with me, and he will. So we have to pray, and all these are very important: a decision, prayer. Third, choose a version and stick with it. Now, I suggest the literal version. Don't go with like a paraphrase, like a loose translation and kind of a pre-masticated version, kind of like a bird feeds someone, one of their chicks. Choose one that's literal, okay? And personally, I enjoy public domain versions, okay? If I'm going to go to the trouble to memorize hundreds of verses, you know, or more, I want it to be mine. I don't want to have to give credit to people when I cite that verse. I don't want to have to say it's, you know, some publisher or whatever. And you're required by law to do that. If you're ever in, you know, in a TV program, or if you're publishing something and you're quoting from something that's copyrighted, you're required by law to cite that source. And so I prefer a public domain, NASB, KJV, RSV, something, because the whole purpose of memorizing it is so it's yours. So that's just for me personally. I recommend it to those that can. I personally use the King James. I'm not a King James only person, but I'll tell you some of the advantages to learning from the King James. It's poetic, so it's easier to remember in many aspects. It's well known, and there are some churches like the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, as well as a lot of Baptists who won't hear anything but King James. And I'll tell you, it's a lot easier to dumb it down for someone that doesn't like the King James than to bring it up to King James. So, I don't have any problem changing the shalls to wills, you know, and the hath to has. I just, to me, that's very simple, so that doesn't get in the way with me. But I find I can reach more people that way, personally. And the other benefit that I find with the King James is I've learned a lot in my youth, but also it's linked to the Strong's numbers. So if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. If you speak another language, use another language. If you like another version, use another version. But personally, I found it to be very good because the Strong's numbers really help me out to look at the original Greek and Hebrew word usage, etc. So, but whatever version you choose, just stick with it. I wouldn't recommend going back and forth. You're not quite sure what verse, you know, what version you use to memorize a certain verse. Number four, choose present truth verses. Sorry, this is yellow. It's not showing up very well, probably, but keep meaning to change that. Choose present truth verses. In other words, verses that have to do with your life today. Because those are the ones that, instead of you being like, oh man, I better look at my verse again. Like you actually want to, because it's applicable to you, because you're going to use it in evangelism, or you're going to use it. And so when I'm going through a difficulty, I memorize verses on God's, you know, provision in difficulty. You know, when someone says something that's unkind or untrue, then, you know, I find something that deals with giving me comfort in that. You know, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn it. You know, Isaiah 54:17. You know, just choosing ones that are applicable, present truth to your circumstance. Other present truth verses, we know in the last days, all those that are living should understand some basic truths, like God's plan for our rest. What happens when people die? There are certain things that we absolutely need to know the ins and outs of in God's Word. But choosing verses that actually mean something to us today will make it pleasurable, and it will make it very useful for us. So keep a running list. I keep blank verse cards in my verse pack so that I can quickly jot down a verse if someone shares one with me, or if I think of one that I really want to hide in my heart. Number five, sacrifice to learn God's Word. Like I said, something has to give in our lives. If we're going to become mighty in God's Word, we can't do it all. Like, we can't have all the video games, and we can't have all the movies, and then have all God's Word. It doesn't work like that. So we have to choose something. There's a man hiking in Utah, Blue John Canyon. His name was Aaron Ralston. So he goes out, he's got a couple burritos with him, some water, and he's climbing down this canyon, doesn't tell anybody where he is, and he dislodges this boulder a bit while he's climbing down, the one you see in the middle there. And it crushes his hand against the wall, and he's trapped. No one knows where he is. He's in this forlorn place, and he's gradually, you know, eating very little, and 3 days after that, he, I believe his water and his food ran out. He tried to to chip away the boulder. That didn't work. His knife wasn't strong enough for that. And so eventually he carved his name into the wall on the date of his death that he thought was going to be his death. And this thought crossed his mind. As much as I like this hand, I don't really like it that much. So I'm going to try to leave it here. And now, if it makes you feel any better, it had crushed the nerves in his hand, you know, this boulder. And so there was some natural anesthetic, you know. And he eventually managed to free himself, if you know what I mean. But think about it. I mean, you know, didn't Jesus say, if your right hand offend you, cut it off and cast it from you? Because you'll be wishing you had that hand the rest of your life, and you'll wish you'd perish there with your hand. Is that what it says? No, it says, because it's profitable for you. It's profitable for you that one of your members should perish. He tied a tourniquet on that after he managed to break that bone and cut through because his knife was dull enough, not sharp enough, and he hiked out of there with his hand above, or his arm, above his head so that he wouldn't bleed to death. And he made it out. And here he is coming back to the same spot with the prosthetic. So, you know, turned out really good for him. We do not want to hold on to what is going to kill us. And so if there's something that needs to go in order for us to be successful in learning God's word, then we need to let go of it. The Bible says in Psalms 119:99, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Some people complain that God's word is not interesting enough. And what they're doing is they're filling themselves with the world. And so of course God's word is not going to be interesting to them. But if we choose what we eat carefully and we don't pervert our appetites, you know, someone who's a drug junkie doesn't find like the pleasure of sitting on a porch with family talking while the sun is setting. Like that's uninteresting to him. Like he wants to be at a party doing drugs. But those tastes can change until like sitting on a porch with family while the sun is setting is like the best thing in the world. This is really amazing. Like we can enjoy each other's company and fellowship. And that's just, you know, we need to train our ways of looking at things and we will desire what's good for us. So what should we watch and take into our senses? Well, you just had media on the brain, so I don't need to go into this very much. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. We have only a limited amount of time. And so we need to choose what is it that we're going to fill our time with. I have a rule. If it's fiction, I don't need it. I don't want it. I loathe it. No thank you. Like there is so much that's truth and that's helpful. And it's not just Bible that I read. I read other things that are helpful and instructive to be able to give light to other people. I enjoy science. I enjoy biographies and history and things like that. But mainly it's the Bible. That's mainly what I have time for. So there needs to be some sacrifice. We only have a certain amount of time. And when it comes time for us being in the time of trouble and witnessing for Christ and the world is ending and we're saving as many souls, we're not going to be like, man, I wish I had watched that extra Netflix. Like, we're not just not going to do it. We're going to be like, why didn't I spend more time preparing for this? Well, we knew that it was going to be horrible, and I wanted to save more. You know, I think about these stories of these people saved during World War II, these Jews, you know, by various very you know, loving people that worked and sacrificed so that they could bring Jews out and hid them, and children, you know, orphaned, you know, by their parents being taken to concentration camps, etc., and having them escape. And then they're just like, afterward, they're just like, oh, if I only had done this, I would have had that extra $100 to be able to get that other family out. And they're just looking back, and I don't want to have those regrets. I want to use every bit of time I can from here on out. The other sacrifice we need to make is we need to make sure that we're healthy. That's, you know, God has asked us to be healthy, not because he just gets a big joy out of us denying ourselves, you know, whatever it is that makes us sick. That's not why he wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be healthy so our brains can be sharp, so that we can do the work that needs to be done and we can comprehend what he wants to say to us. So the only way that he can speak to us is through our brains. Like, he wasn't talking to you before you were born, I know. So it took a brain for him to talk to you. So we need to keep our brains healthy. And for brains to be healthy, we need circulation. It's all about the heart. And so if we want our memories to be strong, we need to make sure that we avoid this kind of stuff. And we don't want to be doing this with our weights. Okay? Actual physical activity stimulates, and those of us that have manual occupations, we look at this stuff, we're like, yeah, right, I work hard in construction all day. I don't need anything else. Thank you very much. But some of us are sedentary. Some of us do office work. We need to exercise our bones and do useful labor. And if we don't have property that we can work on and we can develop so that we can use our muscles, we should lift whatever we have around. And it does help to increase memory and increase that production of hormones that accelerate the neurons' growth and everything. So walking, excellent way to develop our memories. Circulation, while we walk, while we run. Eating right. Think about Daniel. You know, don't just discount Daniel's diet in Daniel chapter 1. You know, fresh foods is grown. And he turned out to be 10 times smarter with the Lord's blessing. It wasn't just the veggies and the pulse and all that. So make a sacrifice. Just determine, I'm going to do whatever it takes to become a soldier in God's army. And learn God's word. Number 6, learn by short, exact exposures. Short, exact exposures. Most of us don't have time to like go on these retreats and like pile up. You know, we're not living in monasteries and convents and everything. We have all this time to just spend with God's word and don't worry about anything else. We have jobs and we have lives, responsibilities. So, but there are many, many chunks of time. You'd be surprised at how much time we let slip through our fingers. And maybe we think, oh, my brain's just so terrible. You know, a constant dripping wears away a stone. So if you feel like a stonehead, just keep dripping that water of God's word on it. And you know what happens? It impresses, it drills that truth into your brain. Carry one of these wherever you go. I try not to leave anywhere without it. And just take this for example. If you had been learning promises of God every single time you did this, how many scriptures would you know? How many times have you put gas? That's 52 times 3 minutes. Okay? For 1 year. So if you had done that for, you know, since you were a teenager, you'd have a lot of verses memorized just from the gas station. That's it, just the gas station. Or if you're exercising between sets, instead of thinking about how bad it hurts, you can be reading promises. When a real love for the Bible is awakened and the student begins to realize how vast is the field and how precious its treasure, he will desire to what? Seize. That's an aggressive word, right? It's not a passive word, it's an aggressive word, active verb. Seize upon every opportunity for acquainting himself with God's word. Its study will be restricted to no special time or place. And this continuous study is one of the best means of cultivating a love for the scriptures. Let the student keep his Bible always with him. As you have opportunity, read a text and meditate upon it. While walking the streets, waiting at a railway station, waiting to meet an engagement, improve the opportunity to gain some precious thought from the treasure house of truth. Now there are lots of places. Let me just give you some examples to carry around your verse back. When you're waiting for food at, what is it called? The Garden Grill? Yeah, when you're waiting for food at the Garden Grill, which is like, in my estimation, like the best vegan or vegetarian restaurant I've ever eaten at. So if you're waiting for food there and you're waiting for the excellent service at Garden Grill, you can be learning a scripture and you can have your server test you on it when they come. So also when you're riding in a car as a passenger, or you're riding on a train, or if you ever travel, I mean, you know, there's tons of time when you're traveling, right? You're like waiting in line to board the plane, you're waiting in line when you get on the plane to get your seat, you're waiting, you know, for the plane to take off. All kinds of time. Instead of playing some foolish game or something on your phone, get out your verse pack and learn some verses. While you're traveling is an excellent time. While you're exercising, walking or running, waiting for that commercial to end on YouTube, on the very, you know, useful channel that you're watching for some very important purpose. while you're waiting for customer service on the phone, you restarted your computer or you're downloading something. All this time, we're accountable for. The Holy Spirit is keeping us alive during that time. And Christ's sacrifice has purchased that time of life for us. We should be using that time to pray, to meditate, to seek to be a benefit to others. When you feel angry, when you feel discontent, when you feel anxious or depressed, if you're tempted, when you reach for your phone just out of habit, mindlessly, why do I have this in my hand? I don't know, but I'll turn it on just in case. 10 minutes later, wow, that was a waste of time. Why did I do that? So instead of reaching for your phone, stop it right there. Instead of your smartphone, your scripture memorization and your retention training pack, your smart pack, take that out of your pocket and learn a scripture. When you're waiting in line to buy something, during a sermon that has gone woefully astray, that won't happen here, okay? When you're in a meeting, I've memorized a lot of scriptures that went on. And I wouldn't take offense. If you guys want to do that during my sermons, feel free. Like, as long as you're getting the Word of God, I don't care. But man, I've heard some. Anyway, we need God's Word, okay? With all due respect, we want to hear the Word of the Lord. What was I going to say? Meetings, yes. When people start, you know, you're in these staff meetings and like people start talking about stuff that's like totally not related to what you're trying to do. And like 15 people are held hostage because two people are having a conversation. And like 10 minutes times 15, that's like 150 minutes that just went out the window. And so you're just like, okay, learn a scripture. You know, there's so much time. We could go on and on. Just, you have to see in your own life, where do you, you know, maybe every day you do the same thing. You park your car and you walk, you know, for 2 minutes or 1 minute to get to your job. Like that is quality time every day. You can put that in. And if you have verses that are very meaningful to you and important, you're going to want to use the time. You're going to want to, I remember, just a funny story, speaking about a rock and a hard place with the devil. I used to go to school at Weimar back in the 90s with, it was in the hills, okay, so the, like 45 minutes from Sacramento, in the foothills, and back then they had dial-up, like back in the 90s, you know. And if you don't know what dial-up is, good for you. It's really slow internet. So it's like through the phone line, you know, and so it was like an eternity. I mean, if it was bad in Sacramento, dial-up was really bad in the hills. And I would just, I mean, I'd just be like, they used to have a joke. Before you even consider marrying someone, see how they react with dial-up. So I would just, and then I decided to redeem the time. And so I would take out my verse pack whenever I was, and it was the weirdest thing. Every time I pulled out my verse pack and I just started to get a blessing from the verse, bam, it connected. There were some times where I was like, man, this is taking a long, oh yeah, watch this. Boom, connects. Just happens so many times. It was like the devil was like, okay, waste this time. Whoa, okay, let it work. He's getting a blessing. So when we redeem the time, the devil can't, you know, if he puts us in prison, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to my prison time. Have a nice time. Meditating on God's Word. Not really, but, I mean, I kind of miss my family and everything, but still. Okay, so we're going to seize on every opportunity. The seventh, so learn by short, exact exposures and memorize exactly what it says. Don't take shortcuts. What the verse says in your version, you learn it like that. Like, don't be adding things. You know this game where you play, you say something and it goes around in a circle at the end. It's not what it started out to be. Like, that's what we want to avoid with God's Word. You know, oh, it's in there. I know. I memorized that verse. And, well, that's not what the Bible says, you know. They're not going to have much confidence in you if you do that. So you need to know exactly what it says. So number seven, so learn it exactly, number six. Number seven, say the reference before and after. Those of you that have done memory training before, this really works. So you start by saying, Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, O Lord. You have the reference on one side of the card, and then the reference, the verse, and the reference afterwards. So you say, Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Jeremiah 17:14, and you say it that way every single time. The reference before and after. And that's the hardest thing to remember about the verses, the reference, because you know, you memorize a lot of 23s and a lot of 15s, and you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of them like that. You know, there's only 10 different options between 0 and 9. So all those are just mixed up. And it really does work. Always say the reference before and after. I mean, just diligently say it. And you will be able to remember the reference easily, because, or the verse, because if you forget either one, you just say what you do know, if you know the other, and then the other one will be connected to it, either front or back. So it's right there. And it's important to know the reference, because people want to see it in the Bible. You know, I've never seen that. Are you sure you're not quoting the Seventh-day Adventist Bible? You know, well, actually, it's, you know, not the Seventh-day Adventist Bible. It's in every Bible. And then you share the verse, the reference. So, you know, you don't want to be leaving people trusting you. You want to point them to the Word of God and have them read it for themselves. So it's important to know the reference, and also to look at context. Context is very important. So learn the reference. It's important that way. Meditate on a verse for 2 months. Once you have memorized the verse, every day for between 40 days and 2 months, go over that verse once and do it diligently. That verse will become like just, it will be just sweetness and oil. I mean, you will know when you start saying it, it'll just flow. You'll be able to say it in your dreams. After about 6 weeks of saying that once a day, just looking at the reference, just taking the card out and looking just at the reference, and then saying the verse, just looking at the reference once, perfectly, flawlessly, at least once, every day for 2 months, you will be able to use that verse in difficult situations. When we're stressed out, you know, stress impacts memory, right? So when we're stressed out, what is it, cortisol? That we, I'm not a physician or scientist or anything, but that, you know, we have these stress hormones, these memory inhibiting, and we can't remember things. But if we know the Word of God really well, even in the most stressful circumstances, the Holy Spirit can be like, that's the verse I want for you. And so being very diligent, that will transfer into the long-term memory. And then after that, do it just weekly. So 40 days or to 2 months. Recite it daily. Say it daily. So if you start, if you memorize it on March 1st, or what, today's the 20, this is not an appropriate calendar. Today's the 21st, right? 21st. So if it, then on May 21st, you would stop. Because you go all the way to April 21st, and then on May 21st, that would be the end of your daily review. And then once a week, go through that. And I was strict with myself. I mean, I was like, I wanted God's Word in my heart. So if I forgot to do my daily review in the daytime, and I like got in bed at 11 or 12 at night, I would get out of bed if I remembered. And I said, okay, tomorrow I will remember this, and I will make sure I do my review. Because one day turns into 2 days, and 2 days into 3 days, and pretty soon you're like, scripture memory, what? You know, I don't know anything about that. So you just kind of slack off. Yes. Recite it from memory once a day. You look at the verse, just the reference, and you say it through one time. Now, at least once. Just two a week. So you're going to have, at the end of night, now here's the thing, you might be like, yeah, I can do more than that, you know. But keep in mind, you have to be reviewing that daily. So week 9, you're talking 18 verses. So if you're doing 4 a week, week 9, it's 36 verses. And it can kind of catch up with you. At the beginning, it's better to start methodically and consistently than to just kind of zoom ahead. And so make sure that you can handle it. Some people can. They can handle more than that. But 2 weeks, two a week is a pretty good pace for someone that's just starting out. It's pretty good. So first week with 2 verses. Another 2 verses. So you have 4. If you memorize 4 verses in 2 weeks, then every day you're going to be reviewing 4 verses. So reciting every verse that you've memorized for 2 months. And then you put it in a back review, and that after 2 months is your like your weekly, like on Sabbath. It's your special pile that you've gone through for 2 months, and you know that so well. You know, in your dreams you're saying those verses. And so you've already done your review daily, So now you can do it every week. When you get a few hundred and you're like, I don't know if I can take the time every week for 500, 600 verses. So then it's monthly. Then you go to monthly. But, you know, it does add up. If you memorize two a week for 4 years, you have 400 verses. And if you're consistent, 7 years, 700, etc. A little more than that, 52 weeks, but you get the idea. So be systematic about reviewing and resetting it. Most people can memorize. People say they forget very easily, but they're not reviewing. So if you don't review, you're not going to remember it. Yes. Okay, no. No. That's just saying whatever verse you happen to memorize on the first, you wouldn't stop reviewing it until the first 2 months from then. You have all week to memorize them. It's up to you. You can memorize, you can take 3 days for one verse and 3 days for the other one, and then on Sabbath take a rest. I mean, whatever you want. No. Every week you learn two new verses. And then you review the ones you've learned every day for 2 months. Right. Yes, that's exactly it. Yes, you would. You would know them. But you'd only... And at the end of 2 months, that's 8 weeks. Okay? You would have 16 verses that you have memorized. Because you're doing two a week. And 8 weeks times two, 16. So, and you keep on adding. Yes? Well... I do have these top tips, but like... I've never really had problems communicating this part before, so I've never written it. So I'm not quite sure how to make it clear. I'm sorry. Any other teachers want to come up and take the mic? Yeah, yes. Okay, what's the name? Okay, simplycharlottemason.com, and they have like this review system, and I'm not sure how similar it is. I can't vouch for it, but it's something the same. Yeah, it's a scripture memory system. All right, so basically it's just two a week, and then you review every new one that you memorize for 2 months from the date that you memorize it. Yes. Okay. Right, exactly. So you keep reviewing them. And only the ones you memorize first, you'll put in your back review. So it's just continually cycling through. All right. Thank you for your patience. Moving on. Number 9, speak God's word to others. This is the best way to learn something is to teach it. So... if you find opportunities to share a promise with someone, that'll help you to solidify that in yourself. If you're teaching something, if you teach the 2300 days and you teach Daniel 9:25, know therefore and understand, you know, from the going forth of the commandment to restore, you know, when you teach something, when you share with someone else, you are emotionally investing in someone else. You're receiving a blessing because you've done that, and that actually solidifies it. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. And it really does help. Speaking it to others really, really helps you to remember it. So look for opportunities to share the word with others. I use Facebook, you know, for sharing God's word a lot. I use, you know, I try to use it whenever I can. And so look for opportunities to share God's word, and you will be able to remember it. And it'll make it interesting for you to do that. Lastly, this is very important. Lastly, but not unimportantly, join a class. We're gregarious individuals. Grex is the Latin word for cattle. Gregarious means, and you know, cattle are all in a herd, okay? And as people, we're sheep. And I know there's loners among us, and there's people that are going to be like, you know, I'm just going to go off on my own, and I'm going to learn the Bible very well. Most of us benefit greatly from being with other people. Two are better than one, the Bible says. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And so looking at other people and seeing how they do it, there's an energy to coming together and sharing your verses and keeping track. And so I'll just tell you a quick story about an adventure I had teaching a church to memorize. So we decided, all right, we're going to memorize Isaiah 53 and the Ten Commandments and Isaiah 58 and all these chapters. So I'm like, all right, let's do this. So, you know, turn to a partner and, you know, say the verse. Or, no, first I said, let's say it together. And so we're all saying it together. And then, like, I noticed, like, week three or four, everyone is looking at everyone else's mouth. And they're all lip reading. And I'm like, oh, no, this is not working. So it was just like this wave of sound, you know, from the one person that knew it. And then everyone else would catch on. And so I was like, okay, we need to be more disciplined about this. How are we going to do this? How are we going to learn this chapter? And then I got to thinking, you know, I know our educational system needs reform and everything, but we got some things right. There's like assessments that need to be done. There's goals. There's a syllabus. There's a plan. There's curriculum. Like, we're all, like, no one graduates, you know, ready for the chemistry exam just hoping that they would make it. Like, they have to have milestones, right? Like, I'm going to know this by this time and this, and then there's a midterm examination to make sure I'm on track, you know? And there's assessments. And so I got to thinking, why don't I just design, like let's just say it's a class with grades. Grades. Like, you know, grades. A, B, C, D, F. Quizzes. Weekly. Midterm exam and a final examination. Okay? They loved it. Kids loved it. Adults loved it. Kids are like, this is great. I'm smarter than my parents. Parents are like, this is wonderful. I'm a student again. It was just great. All around great. And we there's an online grade book. And everybody, indeed, you know, there's a secretary for the class, like a TA, teaching assistant, you know, like a reader. And every time we meet, there's a prayer, maybe a song, but there's a quiz right away. Okay, so no studying for anything during the song, please. And it's just, there's a quiz, and there's a box, and you write the words, and you get a point for every word that you get right. Then there's a few questions. Please give one lesson that you learned from this verse. Check if this applies. I carried my verse back everywhere I went this week. I used my verse once in prayer. I said my verse once to someone else. I'm recommitted to learning God's word next week. So if all else fails, you got at least 1 point. You're recommitted. So that it worked out wonderfully. There was a final a midterm where they had to write everything up to that point. So every week they had to write, you know, whatever it was assigned, like two verses, let's say. They had to write those and fill out the questions real briefly. And then on the midterm, it was cumulative until that point. So halfway through the chapter, whatever they were doing. And then the final examination, and everything was inputted here online so they could access it and see it. And I just said, kids loved it. Adults loved it. So I have the material for you. I would strongly advise that you join a class. You get serious. And I'd like to share one. Whoops. That's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to share this one quotation here with you. Listen to this. There is a dearth of educated ability among us, and we have not men who are sufficiently trained to do justice to the work of managing our Sabbath schools and churches. Many who know the truth still do not understand it in such a way that they could hold their own in its presentation. They are not prepared to present it in such a way that its sacred, majestic character will be clear to the people. Notice this. Instead of less discipline, they need what? More thorough training. It is impossible for anyone to foresee to what he may be called. He may be placed in situations where he will need quick discernment and well-balanced arguments. And therefore, it is for the honor of who? Christ, that well-educated workers should be multiplied among us. So this course has a syllabus. You see when the quizzes are, what the lecture material is. And the material that I would like to see you do here are the three very important topics for the last days, some of the important topics, but three of the primary ones, which is the Sabbath, state of the dead, and the law of God. So those are three that we're going to be tested on. Okay, so it's present truth. This is an issue with the world. That's just my suggestion. Is those three topics, and I will provide you the material. You can freely copy it, and use it here. But we need to be serious about filling our hearts with God's Word. And so, I have material for everybody that would be interested in attending such a class. And so this is how it's going to work. I have a sign-up sheet, a registration sheet. You have to register for Advent Answers Academy if you'd like to be part of this. And I have these really durable polypropylene packs, business card size, with the top tips and the top reasons in here for everybody that wants to be a part of this. Okay? So if you want to join this class, or if you want to start a class where you are, maybe this is not your home church, but maybe you would like to start a class where you are. Maybe you want to have me come and help you do that at some point, or maybe you just want to do it yourself. You still can fill out a registration form, and then in exchange for that registration form, you will get your material. Okay? Is that fair enough? So they're completely free. Everything is free if you want to do this, but there needs to be a little skin in the game. You need to actually decide you're going to do it, all right, and be accountable and encourage other people in that. So I'm going to give you a couple minutes, and while I do that, to fill that out, are there any questions or concerns? Yes. We're going to decide that based upon, we're going to compile the data and then communicate that to everybody and then maybe take some suggestions. So if Pastor Dre wants to facilitate that time, it's going to be at some time between Sunday and Sabbath. I don't know. But I did want to mention something about using phones to memorize. This is kind of something I left out. Personally, I know a lot of people have had benefit to using like Scripture Typer. I detest using my phone. And the reason is because my battery runs out, my phone is connected to messaging and chat and things come through, I get alerts and downloads and all this stuff, and it's very distracting. And I like something sanctified and set apart for just the Lord and I. Okay? So it's my family can't stand me looking at this thing. And so it's always better to have something else because I just look at screens too much. Anyway, so personally, I find it very useful to have something not battery operated, something that doesn't hurt my eyes and tire me out by looking at it, and something that I don't connect when I look at it. Everything I have to do and everyone contacting me and phone calls coming through and everything, and no, I just put it in my pocket and take out my verse pack. So that's personally what I find. Any other questions, observations, objections? Yes. Okay, that's fair. I'm sure there's ways of explaining that where it's able to be understood. Any other questions? All right, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pass out the packs in exchange for the registration forms.